You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and that is the sound of weather data. Not kidding. Local artist Natalie Maybach combines it with ocean data and does something I clearly do not understand to turn it into this music. And to do that work, she does other work that she can sell, and we will get into the selling part a bit, but first, let's just get to know this artist. Natalie is here. Natalie Maybach, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks so much for having me here today.
So how do you even do that?
So I begin with weather data that I translate into woven sculptures and musical scores. And what you just heard is a piece by Matthew Jackfort, who translated a musical score based on The Perfect Storm. So what you actually heard was his translation of wind data and barometric pressure data into this musical, into this beautiful composition.
So there's two sort of trails I want to chase with you on that. And we'll start with The Perfect Storm. You mean the 1991 storm that famously was turned into a book and then a film that killed fishermen off the coast of Gloucester.
Yeah, so this is a very tragic story. And one of the things I love about weather data is that it's connected to human lives, human experiences. And this particular piece that you heard is actually taking weather data from two storms, Hurricane Grace and the Halloween storm, that together merged to create The Perfect Storm. And then I translate that data into musical scores, which I use in collaboration with composers all over the country. But I also take that same data and make sculptures out of it. So the sculptures are data translations of the weather, but they're also trying to infuse the human story that is connected to that that event.
So I want to get to the data and the score in just a minute, but I'm going to stay with The Perfect Storm for just a moment. If you had told me that if one could turn those two horrible weather events into music, and for me to imagine what that music would sound like, it would not have sounded like. Actually, do we still have the music? Can I just play it one more time here? It would not have sounded like this. I mean, it's aching but lovely. Were you surprised? Does the music surprise you when the data translates?
Oh, absolutely. And that's part of the reasons why I collaborate with composers. Because as a sculptor, I always look at the data through a sculptural lens. And working with composers actually helps me discover ways of looking at the data that I would never imagine. So every composer will translate the weather scores that I built in a slightly different way. It's always a surprise to me. One of the reasons I turn to music is because I'm trying to find different ways that we can look at weather data, particularly connected to climate change, and trying to find more nuanced ways that we can understand our complex responses to climate change. And you know, sculpture is one way of doing it, but I found that it was much more difficult to bring in the emotional parts of the experiences that people were going through. And so I turned to music as a way of trying to keep the integrity of the data in line, so not changing any of the weather data that I was using, but infusing it with an emotional reading of it. And that's what the musical scores and the musical compositions have been. So we have these wonderful concerts all over the country where we show both the sculptural work, but also the musical compositions. And then we have this wonderful conversation, not just about how extreme weather patterns are affecting communities, but also what is data as an artistic material? How is it still data or is it something else? And do we need these sort of more artistic expressions to gain a more deeper and more nuanced understanding of climate change?
And with this data, you assign what a numerical value or a color value or a materials value with your sculptures to the data, and then use that to construct.
Yeah. So the data always begins. The sculptures always begins with some sort of basket structure. Basket weaving is my main method of translation. And from afar, the sculptures look like big construction toys. They're very colorful. They're very chaotic. But when you look deeper into it, you begin to notice the little tags that say miles per hour, barometric pressure, and you begin to understand that all these colorful elements are actually building a complex system. system, yes.
So I'm going to bring another voice in here. Sitting here in studio listening to all of this with us is Sarah Hartman. She's an entrepreneurship professor at Mass College of Art and Design, or Mass Art, and runs a creative economy business incubator for local artists. At the end of June, Boston Mayor Michelle Wu announced $500,000 in grant funding for Boston artists to bolster the city's creative economy, and some of that money went to Sarah's work. And you, Natalie, went through an earlier version of Sarah's program. So we're going to bring Sarah into the conversation now. Welcome, Sarah.
Oh, thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here.
So what does it feel like to hear an artist like this talk about their work and know that you're helping them make sure they can fund and make that work possible?
It's absolutely thrilling. You know, I spent a lot of time before launching this incubator on the periphery of the startup ecosystem, but also with one foot in the arts world. And it was really astonishing to me the way we had such a resource gap when it comes to how we as an ecosystem, as a culture, as a region, support businesses that have this high growth potential and we understand the value that they bring to the region, but we don't have formal systems and support networks in place to support the people who are creating our culture. So, you know, seeing the success that Natalie's had, obviously before the incubator as well, but seeing that layer of business acumen and knowledge and how that's impacted the work that she's done going forward, it's just the best feeling in the world.
And that's what the incubator is, right? It's to teach artists how to develop profitability with some portion of what they do and turn it into a sustainable business.
Yeah, so there's a misconception. You know, I think that art schools across the country or maybe the world have perpetuated for years that creative success will be automatically followed by financial success. But that so often those are two separate things. And the business incubator, the creative economy business incubator at MassArt, is a 8-month cohort-based program that takes artists, designers, and cultural entrepreneurs and teaches them core foundational business concepts. But through the lens of a working creative professional and helps connect them to a network of established and profitable creative entrepreneurs who can guide them on their individual journeys.
And Natalie Maybach, as a local artist, what made you want to go through the incubator?
Well, actually, exactly the kind of gap that Sarah was just describing. I have been self-employed since 2006 and have been, you know, and I decided to be a working artist in Boston, very expensive city to live in. And even though I've had a successful career in these last 15 years, it's been successful on resume in terms of exhibitions, but it's not necessarily been a sustainable financial success. So I am coming to the realization, I turned 50 a couple of months ago, that even though I am a successful artist, I am also, in a sense, not having that much money left over for retirement. So there's a reality to this that I think was hitting me. And also, I think I also just wanted to stretch myself a little bit. I live in the my studio is in the SOA district.
And in Boston?
In Boston, yes. And there's a SOA market very well known here in the city. And so there were all these people walking through my studio every Sunday wanting to buy things for their home and for their apartment, but not really having the kind of spending power to buy one of my sculptures. So that's really what brought me the idea for Spiders and Birds, to tap into that audience that was walking through my studio every single Sunday.
So let's have a little fun with that. So Spiders and Birds is the business. Sarah, this is a business you helped Natalie develop?
Absolutely. So Spiders and Birds was developed in the incubator at MassArt with help from some really incredible mentors in our network as well.
All right. And so I have a piece sitting in front of me. And so I've got, it's like it's a lamp, but it's like a woven blue basket around the lamp with colorful wooden blocks for a base, a bright orange cord. And then I've got this bag of other blocks. Oh, I've got like a cone, an orange cone here, and some yellow wooden balls. They almost remind me of the blocks I played with as a child, Natalie. So how does this all work together?
Perfect. I love your reaction to it. Yes. So what I was doing, what I was trying to do with Spiders and Birds is create home products that are playful, hand-woven lamps that can be converted from table lamp to pendant lamp. So you are actually part of the building process through these different wooden elements, you can convert the lamp into a table or pendant lamp and put in decorative elements.
So I'm turning the lamp over and looking at how one might take the legs off, for example, which I don't want to do because I don't want to break anything. But I can see how it could then convert to hanging versus standing. Mm-hmm. And it's bright and cheery and colorful.
Yes. If you walk into my studio, it looks like a big toy store. So I wanted spiders and birds to reflect that playfulness, that that joy of color. And yes, all of the products are very, very colorful.
So, Sarah, you now have this grant from the city to help more artists do what you helped Natalie do. So two questions. Mm-hmm. How many more people can you help that way? And do most artists have something they can imagine into a product like this lamp that Spiders and Birds produces, or is that a hard journey?
So to answer the first question, with the funding from the city, for the first time, we're going to be able to take 12 Boston-based artists into the incubator, which previously had only been open to Mass Art students and Mass Art alumni. So we're very excited about that. But also as a part of this funding, I should say, we've been working with the Mayor's Office of Arts and Culture since 2019 to produce free professional development programming for artists. So not a full incubator, but a lot of really valuable one-day workshops on things like taxes, pricing, negotiations. And we will be offering 24 more of those workshops over the course of the next year. And I think we estimated we have the capacity to serve 7,000 artists with those.
So fantastic.
We've got something for everyone. But I should say, when we think about the pathways that an artist might go or designer may go down through the incubator, there's, you know, the pathway that we're looking at in Natalie's case, sort of a established fine artist developing a product that has a connection to her practice. We also have many designers come through the incubator who may be looking at launching their own clothing brand or home decor brand. And we have some really incredible, innovative students that are approaching this as a way to develop and hone strategic and entrepreneurial skills. But in some cases, leaving the incubator, they decide to find other applications. So in addition to the student and alumni-run brands that have come out of the incubator, we have alums who go into things like consumer insights, who work in the internal innovation units at large organizations, or who work in developing wearable technology. So
this, all over the place.
Yes. There's no limit to what you can do if you're both creative and strategic.
So, Natalie Maybach, as a local artist, what has been, just briefly, what has been possible for you? What's one thing that's possible now that wasn't before the incubator?
Well, I think the biggest thing that the incubator gave me was the ability to critically look at my own business practice for the last 15 years and make changes and actually have a vocabulary to define what needs to change. And also, I am now part of a larger community. I mean, what Sarah just described, this diversity of businesses, this is wonderful because even though we're all doing different businesses, we're all trying to put our vision into a profitable, financially sustainable model. And so having now access to that business is incredibly empowering.
All right. That is Natalie Maybach, owner of Spiders and Birds, along with Sarah Hartman, who's the entrepreneurship professor at Mass Art behind the incubator that has New City of Boston support. Thanks so much to both of you for being here.
Thank you. It was wonderful to be here.
Thanks.